278. Jesus meets Lazarus at the Field of the Galileans. 18th September 1945. The famous Field of the Galileans, I think that is the meaning of the word used by Jesus to point out the meeting place with the 72 disciples sent ahead of him, is part of the Mount of Olives, towards the road to Bethany, which actually passes there. And it is precisely in this place, that in a vision of long ago, I saw Jochimedon camp with Alphaeus, then a little boy, near other tents made with branches, at the Feast of the Tabernacles, which preceded the conception of the Blessed Virgin. The summit of the Mount of Olives is smooth. Everything is smooth and pleasant on that mountain. The slopes, the view, the summit. It really inspires peace, clad as it is with olive trees and silence. But not now. Because it is swarming with people intent on making their tents. But generally it is a place of tranquility and meditation. On the left-hand side, with respect to those facing north, there is a light depression, and then another summit which is even smoother than the previous one. And it is on this tableland that the Galileans camp. I do not know whether it is an age-old religious custom, or whether they do so by order of the Romans, to avoid conflicts with Judeans and peoples of other regions, who are never very kind to Galileans. I do not know. I know that I can see many Galileans, amongst them Alphaeus of Sarah from Nazareth, Judas, the old landowner from Merim, Jairus, the head of the synagogue and other people from Bethsaida, Capernaum and other towns in Galilee, but whose names I do not know. Jesus points out the place where they should put up their tents, on the eastern edge of the Field of the Galileans. And the apostles, together with some disciples, among whom there is John the priest and John the scribe, Timonus, the head of the synagogue, Stephen, Hermestus, Joseph of Emmaus, Abel of Bethlehem and Galilee, begin to make their tents with branches. While they do so, Jesus speaks to some children from Capernaum, who have pressed around him asking him dozens of questions and confiding to him as many pieces of information, when Lazarus arrives from the Bethany road with Maximinus, his inseparable companion. Jesus is facing the opposite direction, and cannot see him. But the Iscariot does, and he informs the master, who leaves the children, and goes towards his friend smiling. Maximinus stops a few steps behind, to leave the two completely free in their first approach. And Lazarus covers the last few yards, as fast as he can, walking more painfully than ever, with a smile which trembles with pain on his lips, and shines with tears in his eyes. Jesus opens his arms and Lazarus falls onto his heart, bursting into tears.
What, my dear friend? Are you still weeping?
Asks Jesus, kissing his temple. He is so much taller than Lazarus, from his shoulders upwards, and looks even taller, as Lazarus is bent in his embrace of love and respect. At last Lazarus looks up and says,
Yes, I am weeping. Last year I gave you the pearls of my sad tears, it is therefore fair that I give you the pearls of my tears of joy. Oh, Master, my Master! I think that there is nothing more humble and holy than good tears. And I give them to you, to say thank you for my Mary who is now a kind, happy, serene, pure good girl. Oh, much better than when she was a little girl. And I who felt that I was much above her, in my pride of an Israelite faithful to the law, now I feel I am so tiny, so nothing, as compared to her, who is no longer a woman, but a flame. A sanctifying flame. I cannot understand where she finds the wisdom, the words, the actions, which edify the whole household. I look at her as one looks at a mystery. But how could so much fire, such a jewel be hidden under so much rottenness, and be there comfortably? Neither I nor Martha can ascend where she ascends. But how can she, if her wings were broken by vice? I do not understand.
And there is no need for you to understand. It is enough that I understand. But I tell you that Mary has turned the powerful energy of her being towards good. She has bent her character towards perfection. And since her character is of powerful absolutism, she thrusts herself unreservedly on that way. She makes use of her experience in evil, to be as powerful in good as she was in evil, and using the same method of giving herself entirely, as she did in evil, she has given herself entirely to God. She has understood the law of love God with your whole being, with your body, your soul and with all your strength. If Israel were made of Mary's, if the world were made of Mary's, we would have the kingdom of God on the earth, as it will be in the Most High Heaven.
Oh, Master, And it is Mary of Magdala who deserves such words.
It is Mary of Lazarus, the great friend, the sister of my great friend. How did you know that I was here, if my mother has not yet come to Bethany?
The steward of the clear water has come to me by forced marches and told me that you were coming. Every day I sent a servant here. A little while ago he came saying, he has arrived and is at the field of the Galileans. I left immediately.
But you are suffering
so much, master. My legs.
And you came. I would have come soon.
My anxiety to tell you my joy was tormenting me. I have had it in my heart for months. A letter. How can a letter say such things? I could not wait any longer. Will you come to Bethany?
Of course. Immediately after the feast.
You are anxiously awaited. That Greek girl. What a mind. I speak very much with her, anxious as she is to learn about God. But she is very well educated. And I succumb, because I do not know certain things very well. It takes you.
And I will come. Now let us go to Maximinus, and then I beg you to be my guest. My mother will be happy to see you and you will be able to rest. She will soon be here with the boy.
And they go to Maximinus, who kneels down greeting him.